everyone. I'm Janine.
And Stephanie.
And this is The Course of Course, episode 30. It's so good to finally be back. We've been dark for a couple weeks.
Yes, we've been in the light.
And why has that been, Stephanie? Where have you been? What have your adventures taking you?
I have been in the western part of Canada visiting my mother for about 10 days on a tiny little island. I got to go fishing 3 times. We fished anywhere from 50 to 350 feet. I got to see eagles. We visited Hollyhock, which is a spiritual center. I got to take lots of garden pictures. We got 10 pounds of blueberries.
10 pounds of blueberries?
We made blueberry muffins.
Love blueberries. My favorite fruit of all time.
I love raspberries. We made raspberry coconut pie. We did a lot of cooking, a lot of wine drinking. We did the fishing. Yeah, we explored the island. It was fun.
See, to me, that's like a perfect vacation where you're not just running around and like climbing down volcanoes or whatever people do.
Yeah.
You know, in Hawaii. And you just kind of enjoy nature.
It was very healing. I found being out on the water and just the greenness of all of Canada. And I got to do my lessons every day and have my quiet time. So that was good to keep me moving in, my lessons.
Let's talk about your lessons then. So you had quite a spiritual time, I guess, while you were in Canada for 10 days.
I had an extreme highs. And then on the way home, I had some kind of lows. So the high was we went fishing one night after a little deck party, and we were just going as fast as we could across the water. And I had this fear. And so I wanted to also let go because it was adrenaline, you know.
You were afraid because you're going so fast on a boat in water? What was
Like we could hit a log or something and die.
Oh, so I was Wow. Yeah, you really went there.
I did. I mean, I had this battle going on of the ego thinking I could die. And if I died, all the things I'd be missing out of. And then it was like, okay, I'm releasing this and I'm becoming one with the Holy Spirit and like total ecstasy. And then this little fear would come up. Yeah, but you wouldn't get to live on the island later. And then it was like, I'm not believing that. I'm going to let go of this. And I'm willing the Holy Spirit. We are one mind. Like I would just ramble on all this stuff in my head to combat the ego. And then I would just let go. And it was this really crazy, like 10 minutes on this thrill ride across the water. It was weird. It was great.
I really liked that you were conscious about what was happening. Like, oh, I'm seeing what's happening. I'm afraid. Okay. I'm back with God. Uh-oh, I'm afraid again. It's interesting. Those kind of back and forth roller coaster rides that our egos can take us on
constantly.
And you had a little snippet of that, like an intense kind of what, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. And then on the way home, you know, I had this blissful 10 days, but the reentry was kind of crazy. So I felt like, again, the ego was trying me. So I had this beautiful week, and that's what the ego does. It wants to combat it and bring you back down. We had airport delays, mechanical failures, no
air. In Vancouver,
air.
Trying to fly to back to Los Angeles.
Yeah, we were stuck in an airport with no food.
My goodness.
No food.
This is savage.
The plane, the bathrooms didn't work. The air didn't work. I mean, it was just like one thing after another. And I just kept reading, Dude, Where's My J-Fish?
Ah, Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish? That is the Mike Lemieux book that we both love so much.
Yes.
So Mikey helped you through that drama. Totally. Mikey helped you through the tampon shortages in which you experienced in Vancouver.
Okay, so this is one of the quotes I got from his book. As far as the ego's plan is concerned, your seemingly multiple problems show up in this world in an attempt to get you to react, to feel bad, guilty, mad, defeated, bored, scared, inferior, self-conscious, annoyed, lonely, or superior and condescending. It's all some kind of judgment, regardless of the form. As soon as you make the judgment, you give validity to the ego's world and reinforce the seeming reality of the separation and everything that goes with it.
Way to go, Mikey. You hit it on the nail on the head.
Page 118. Hmm. That was from DU's 181 from Artin.
Oh. And then, I take that back. That was Artin, everyone.
Yeah. And then here's another one from Artin and Persa that was in Mike's book. If there is no world, then there's nothing to forgive. And recognizing the fact in the events, situations, and people you see is advanced forgiveness, because now you're not forgiving other people for something they've really done. You're recognizing that they haven't really done anything.
That's the thing. You're recognizing they haven't really done anything.
Mm-hmm.
We were just on a phone call a few minutes ago talking about that kind of thing. Nobody's ever really done anything, even though it seems like, oh, this is unfair and unjust. They didn't really do anything, did they? It's just a play.
It's just the form. It's like just these bodies that the ego's manipulating different situations, different words, whether it's someone stealing money or someone beating me up or someone sneaking off and having an affair or like whatever the bad wrongdoing thing is, mm-hmm. it's just a body being
It doesn't exist. It is a play in which we created. We wrote the script.
Yeah.
The script has already been written. I just think it's fascinating because the listeners to our podcast, have hopefully watched our evolution since the beginning. We're on podcast 30. I think we're coming up to our 1-year anniversary. I think we started podcasting. The first one was in October. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're coming up to that year, right? And I think it's really fascinating kind of watching each other address and deal with life as it's coming at us and how much we're changing. We're watching those around us kind of maybe spinning a little more than we thought, being a lot more aware of, wait a minute, that's not really true. That's not a truth. In understanding a little better reality versus reality. Mm-hmm. So reality in the big picture is we're all one and, you know, we're all God. We're all just having this dream experience. And the other thing is the reality of the dream experience, quote unquote, where people will say, well, you're not dealing with reality. You're in a fantasy, right? So it's like understanding that we're basically in two different worlds in our mindset and how everyday stuff kind of unfolds to us and how we're making different choices now. It's really hard to truly explain the changes that I've had in dealing with the course with anyone who hasn't gone through the course. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like I was having that conversation with my sister today. It was a little challenging for me. It's hard to explain something that has changed you so fundamentally and use words that someone else who hasn't been changed fundamentally can understand.
Same thing happened in Landmark when they used to say, you know, get off it or give it up or certain terminology, distinctions. You know, people would look at you funny.
It's like, what does that mean exactly?
But there's so much Landmark in the course. I really think that they must have studied the course.
Ah, I see.
Or it comes through in different forms. So
absolutely. I think this has been around for a long time. It just depends on, you know, how it's packaged. And some people resonate to a different package. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe some people, like, you know, can approach Landmark in a different way than maybe they won't feel the same way with the course. I just think the course, I hate to say this, but I feel like it's really hardcore. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't mean it to be like, oh.
Well, it's radical.
Yeah, it is radical.
It's a whole new way of thinking of everything, which goes against everything that we're told.
And this is why I so deeply appreciate people like Gary Renard and Mike Lemieux and Alexander Marchand, who are able to take this radical thing and be able to communicate it in a way that we can grok it.
Yes.
Like, all right, yeah, I can get that now.
It's like, thank you, Jesus, for sending them.
Correct. I mean, I'm sure every generation or whatever has their
teachers,
their prophets, their, I don't know how you want to say it, but I'm just really fortunate that we have been exposed to these people.
Yeah, to help us understand forgiveness. One of the things in Mikey's book, he said that according to the concordance of A Course in Miracles, the words forgive, forgives, forgiveness, forgiven, forgiving shows up in the course a total of 835 times.
Wow, take note on that one.
That's like almost on every page.
Right.
So good half of the pages.
You know, it's funny. Forgiveness just seems like, oh, okay, I'll just forgive you. But man, that's not easy.
No, it's the illusion we mm-hmm. have to forget. We have to give it back over.
Well, we talked about this, I think, in the first few podcasts of our 30 podcast series at this point, that, you know, it's very easy to write down on a piece of paper, I forgive you, meaning I forgive, like, my boyfriend or whatever. And it's like now, 30 into it, we're like, it's got nothing to do with them.
Oh, yeah, that kind of reminds me of a school teacher making a kid write on the chalkboard, right. You know, like it's not that.
Right. At the beginning of The Simpsons when Bart has to write, you know, I will not shove my peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your couch or something. I have no idea.
I feel grateful. Like we are getting a muscle in this now. Like it's starting to make even more sense. Like we thought we knew it and it made sense, but it does keep getting on deeper levels.
And that's why it's so important to keep practicing it.
We're going to have to be students for the rest of our lives.
The rest of our Janine and Stephanie lifetimes.
But you know, today I was listening to The Old Man in the Car on the way over.
The Old Man in the Car is the guy who, the gentleman who narrates the course in audio, who we have a crush on.
Yes.
Big time.
We're very fond of
very
him.
Very fond of that fella,
Jesus.
Whoever he is.
They were saying, which we've all heard this before 1,000 times, all we need is a little willingness. It doesn't matter how dark things get or what things we do in the world or what we think. We don't have to try and make something happen by being perfect course students, which we're always beating ourselves up for. We just have to have that small willingness. We don't have to have it all figured out, and we will transcend. And that gave me a little more freedom, just like in the last couple of hours from having driven over here, hearing that one more time where it finally hit me like, oh, yeah, you know what? I think this might be my last one. I think this is going to be it.
It's like we're reborn in every moment of this dream. Mm-hmm. Every moment we can hear something that we've heard 30 times and go, oh, wow, and take it in a different level. Mm-hmm. But I think you've had such a major success story over these 30 podcasts with your slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
Major success story.
When I came back from Canada, she called me and was like, hey, how was your trip? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, who is this person on the line that's being so nice to me? And she sincerely meant it. And I really felt the love. And I've been trying to be love. And I feel that it's showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
See, that's, for those of you listening, that's a perfect example in real world, quote unquote, real world, that we can change our experience with people.
And this person probably did nothing, you know, like it all came from who
exactly.
I'm being and how I shifted.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this earlier about special relationship. Like most people think love is that. And now we're even starting to get that on a bigger level. Like we're not so sure we want to be a romantic.
Well, I don't want the false love. I may have people react to this, but I no longer believe in romantic love. And I don't mean that there isn't this part of me that thinks, oh, how great it would be. I just no longer have any stake in that whatsoever.
It's just a device of the ego.
It's a device of the ego. And I've had so many romantic relationships. I've been in love so many times. And let me tell you, the happiest I've ever been is outside of those relationships. So that's got to say something to me. It's like I'm happiest when I love myself, not when I'm in a relationship where I'm expecting someone to behave in a certain way and, you know, do these grand romantic gestures that really don't mean anything. And I don't need to project on them.
Right.
It's not their responsibility to make me happy. It
or
has
take
never
care of us.
Been. Right. But if you watch, you know, sometimes I'll be home working from home and I'll watch like daytime TV and it's dominated by kind of like traditional female talk shows that talk about, oh, you know, your man really loves you if he does this. And I've been watching them and going, what the heck are we saying to each other?
I think doing the man classes helped me a lot.
What's the man classes for our listeners?
Understandingmen.com. They have courses all over the country. So women and men, check them out. It's about how we emasculate men often. Like, I'm smarter than them. Which, I don't know. Just, it's a whole new way of thinking about relationships. But now it doesn't really matter because we're on a whole nother path. We've tweaked our resonance again. And
yeah.
I guess that's the beauty
of
time.
I mean, I love men. I like being with men. But I no longer have that desire and need to couple up or to be romantic and be like, oh, I love you so much. it's not me anymore. It's just, it's definitely changed me.
Well, on my vacation, I had some time to go on Facebook and reach out to people. So I befriended a bunch of course people. Like, that's all I focused on. And I became a follower of some different groups that I wanted to share. Like,
oh,
there's
yes.
there's a Course in Miracles group in Ireland. And I think Martine Joseph is a part of that. Also, Awakening to Love with ACIM. There's a one called Journey Through ACIM with Ken and Gary. There's fellow ACIM students. Of course, there's Gary's page and Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish? He's always posting, which is great. But there's this gal named Kira Redman from Bethpage, New York. She writes these little haikus, and I'd like to read a couple.
Well, who doesn't like a good haiku?
As no one is left behind, it's safe to transform the mind. As all ideas are in me, now I am forever free. Another one is, I no longer ask for things to be done, as the only task is to accept all as one. She just started a new job, so she wrote, "As no one is left behind, it's safe to transform the mind. As all ideas are in me, now I am forever free." Actually, that one wasn't about the job. The job was, "As I completely release an idea of expertise and I no longer compete, as one is perfect and complete." So shout out to Kira Redman. And then I like friended people all over the world. And some of them I've invited to be fans of our Facebook page, which I renamed, you know, The Course of Course - A Course in Miracles.
Perfect.
So I had fun connecting with people.
That's great.
And please help tell your friends that we exist. I mean, speaking of the course community, one of the things we were kind of excited about going to Vegas was to meet some other people in the course community. However,
this was the Vegas conference scheduled for next year.
Yeah, Gary sent out his note. And I know you have some ideas to share about that. But I don't think we're going now.
Yeah, we've decided that it's probably best that we don't go.
We don't know any of the speakers. We haven't read any of their books. It doesn't sound like
anything. Well, I'm sure they're fine, you know, and they're lovely people.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we don't have an attachment to be there.
Right.
You know, maybe in the future we may check it out.
Yeah, the Vegas conference was one of the two I think we were initially looking at. The first one was the one with, what is it, the Miracle Distribution Center. And we did go to their conference last year. They had another one that's actually happening this weekend as we record.
The international one?
The international one in Irvine, California. And then next year would be kind of like the, it's bigger.
Oh, it's way bigger.
Course in Miracles conference. I think this is the one that Gary and Cindy spoke at with Reverend Tony.
Correct.
So it's like the next one of that.
They've been going for the past several years and speaking. Right. And I appreciated his email because he explained the whole pay to play thing, which I suspected, but never heard anyone actually
talk
about.
Now, when you say pay to play, what does that mean?
In order for them to speak at the conference, they had to sell $20,000 worth of tickets to be like in the top four or something, to have like the main stage. Otherwise, they were in a breakout room and people might not go because they're socializing.
So the only way you would get like the keynote spot is if you were the one who brought in a bunch of people.
Four people got that spot.
I see. Is there anything wrong with this?
No, but I have a different philosophy being coming from a concert promoter point of view. Although my analogies have always been from the music business, like at the Roxy or the Troubadour, pay to play is common. But as a bigger concert promoter, people buy tickets and we pay the band. So I think that people buy tickets to the conference and you pay the speakers. They shouldn't have to be out there paying $20,000, you know, selling enough. What if they don't sell $20,000 worth of tickets?
Right.
That's
so
a huge burden.
We had talked about maybe giving a talk at like one of the Angel of Light fairs or whatever those psychic fairs are that go around the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because back in my hometown in Cincinnati, I went to the one recently in April and no one was talking about Course in Miracles. I mean, it was this massive kind of psychic spiritual fair.
And there was a whole life expo kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there was zero Course in Miracles. So we talked a little about that. But I don't know if we know enough people to even be able to sell $20,000 worth of tickets to anything.
Oh, I know we don't.
That would be like a little out of our range right now. And even if it was in our range, I don't know, knowing us, that that's something that we would want to do anyway.
Yeah, it's not our path.
It's not, and not that sales isn't something that isn't an interesting profession. It's just nothing that has ever really appealed to me, personally.
Mm-hmm.
You're better at it than I am. I would just be like, oh, okay, that's cool. You don't want to go? That's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing this podcast because we are exploring the course for the very first time, making our way through the workbook and the text, and we wanted to be able to kind of document it since I'm a documentarian and you're great at all this audio equipment, et cetera, and just maybe leave something for someone else who's just starting off, just like we are, so they could see our journey and how we transcended in the end.
Exactly. They're like, I listen to those two gals. They're back with God now.
That it can be done.
Yeah.
We're a living example,
yeah.
Just like Jay.
Look at that. We just compared ourselves to Jay.
And last time we podcast, we couldn't imagine it.
Look
how far we've grown in 2 weeks.
Wow, you go to Canada and everything changes.
You too.
Well, I didn't go anywhere. I went to my living room.
But you've had some transformation. Talk about your work.
I did. So, you know, I've had this slow burn going on for a while. My current role in my office is changing. So I'm moving to a different area, but still in the same company, right? Just working for a different person. and
getting a different job.
A different job. So I'm a little sad that I'm leaving, but as a good friend told me the other day, don't ever look back, just look forward. So I'm looking forward, and I'm kind of exploring how I can make this my own and how I can really enjoy my day. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of being stuck into being mired into somebody else's drama. My slow burn is still around, but nowhere near the intense experience I had before. I mean, I really do feel like not only is it lessening, I think it's lessening because I'm just distancing myself. It's like, I don't need to be involved. Like, what was I doing?
The ego was trying to distract you.
Yeah. And the ego is pretty good. I'm still busted, and I'm not to where you are with your slow burn, but I'm definitely kind of on the journey. I'm definitely on the path, which is great. And I think it's really helping me kind of appreciate those around me more and not get so stuck in, oh, this is terrible. And
I think that because you've grown and you've been doing the work, your script was able to shift to get you out of that situation and give you a whole new world now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I do feel like things are lightening up for me. For a while, it was just so intense and stressful. And the only person that hurt was me. You know what I mean? Everybody around me just did their own thing. I was the only one that was really feeling it.
How we cast everyone in these crazy roles.
Well, and you know, we were talking earlier to my sister, and there's something that happened to our other sister, you know, and I can understand life, at least in Crazy Planet, isn't fair. And every day we deal with injustice, but we can't get stuck in it.
Yeah, there was something right in that part today in the text when he was talking about we have to learn how to live with the dark shadows. Mm-hmm. That's why we're in body again.
Right.
Like there is stuff to complete, but knowing that it's always going to be there, we don't have to let it affect us because everything's the same. It's all not real. Mm-hmm. And we can just kind of rise above the battleground, as Cindy would say.
Rise above the battleground.
Which I forgot about until a couple days ago.
I believe we're going to go see Cindy and Gary in a month, maybe.
Yeah, the organizers created a Facebook page for it, so I put us down as attending, and Mike Lemieux is going to be there too, so we're going to finally get to meet.
Hopefully we can have him as a special guest on our podcast soon.
Woohoo!
That would be great. Can we link in the Course of Course Facebook page with the organizers page?
You mean like have our page appear on their page?
Or something.
Or link. We just have to email them. I think it was Claire or Clara or something.
Okay.
I'll look for her. I think it would make more sense afterwards once we meet people, you know, and kind of talk to.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. It's like you're in charge of the Facebook stuff. So I'm just going to step away and let you handle it.
Yeah. The one that was going to happen that got canceled because they came home sick.
Oh, yeah.
Those people I definitely sent our information to. I don't know whatever happened.
Oh, that was down in Orange County, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're going to be there again in March.
Oh, that's good. All right.
So they're in Maui now.
Yes.
And so we're thinking as well, like, why go to Vegas, spend $500 on the conference, hotel, flights, when instead we could maybe go spend a week with Cindy and Gary for about the same amount of money. And I would much rather go to Maui or Cabo or
agreed
some other place and have a different experience with them than we've been able to have in the one day workshops, like a more intense, I don't know what to expect because we've never been to a week long workshop with them.
I know, it's kind of like we're taking baby steps. Like we were with them for a day down in San Diego, and then we're going to be with them another day.
The end of August. Join us there if you would like.
Yeah. Where is that one going to be?
That one's in La Jolla.
La Jolla, which is basically greater San Diego, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of right near Pacific Beach, Ocean Beach. Mm. I grew up down there, so it's all very close.
That's like your hood.
It is my hood.
Yeah. But for those of you who aren't in California, Gary does go all over the world, I think. He was in Greece and China. He was in China recently. He travels a lot. So if you just check out the GaryRenard.com website, you can see where he's going to be presenting his...
It's the appearances page.
Knowledge. It's the appearances page on the GaryRenard.com website. That's our little plug for Gary Renard. And does Mike Lemieux have a website or is he just on Facebook? I don't...
That's a good question. I don't think I've ever been to his website.
We should probably check that out.
He definitely is strong on Facebook.
Yeah.
And he helps manage Gary's page.
Well, I'm a big Twitter fan. I don't tweet much, but man, I get a lot of tweets in my Twitter feed. And he does tweet
every day, several
quotes
times a day
from Gary's books and stuff. So I so appreciate it. Every time I see him show up on my Twitter feed, I get very kind of excited. It's like, oh, there's Mikey.
Well, he posted something interesting the other day about if you're about to get raped, you should defend yourself. And I've been having this kind of inner battle because I took an hour self-defense class and heard that statistic about how a woman is sexually assaulted every 2 minutes in the United States, and how I just feel horrified by that statistic. It's like, you're damn right I'm going to fight back. But I just feel like we might be on the cusp of a female revolution.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
You know, Amanda Seyfried posted that she made 10% the salary of her male counterpart, yet she had a bigger box office draw than him, or at least as equal to.
I had no idea.
And I work in entertainment, so I see the contracts, and I see how the men are getting paid more than the women. And
that's amazing.
And I just feel like, I don't know if Hillary's going to get in or not get in, but she's just as corporate as everyone else, but it'd be great to have a female break that glass ceiling, because then maybe it can open the way for other women to move up. But I just feel like there's this imbalance-ness.
I think with Caitlyn Jenner becoming like in the zeitgeist of our community these days, and just a more welcoming
concept,
yeah, of LGBT and transgender.
Yeah,
that's
oneness,
huge.
Sameness.
I mean, 20 years ago, that never would have happened. Growing up, we were children of the 70s. That wasn't exactly a decade or the next couple decades of kind of uniting and togetherness.
Well, the 70s was the beginning of the women's revolution.
It was the beginning of the women's revolution. Absolutely. And so it was mine, too.
Yeah.
But
Gloria Steinem,
we weren't seeing this appreciation. Now we're starting to reap the benefits in standing on the shoulders of these giant women who kind of were there for us. Our mother's generation, I think I said this before, were amazing, because they're the reason why we are here today, because they're the ones that said, wait a minute, this isn't right. Those women in the 60s and 70s, anybody watched Mad Men can see, you start seeing those women and those characters waking up, saying, this isn't fair and we're going to fix this.
Like on Masters of Sex, the mm-hmm. very first episode this season was them presenting their book and talking about sex for the first time in the public view, which is how we got the pill.
Which is amazing, isn't it? I mean, sex has been around since humans have been walking on Earth, and nobody really talked about it because somehow our egos made it dirty and wrong and bad.
Yeah.
And it never was.
Things are shifting, it feels.
I definitely think the huge benefit are the young kids coming up now, because they are inheriting a culture that is so much more progressive than it was when we were growing up.
They're not anxious to get married and have kids.
I know.
I mean, their parents made them play guitar, take soccer lessons, take Spanish classes, have a tutor, get really smart so they can get into college, so they can have all this debt, so then they can't get a job and they can't pay it off. Like, I think they've busted that dream open.
Because we kind of had to deal with that stuff. It was sort of shoved down our throats that we had to behave a certain way, that IBM's a great company, but it's like, oh, you want to be like IBM and all these big corporate monsters, where you had to wear like the blue suit and that whole costume.
Thank God we don't have to wear nylons anymore.
We don't have to do any of that anymore.
Pantyhose.
It's a different world. I'm so pleased and grateful that we've been able to live through, at least in the Janine Stephanie lifetime, mm-hmm. through this timeline.
That's true.
We've lived through many, and we're currently living in many. This is not a
yeah,
sequential time. It's concurrent time, at least in our focus right now. I mean, we have this very finite timeline, but I do feel really to have seen so much change. Every generation seems change. We aren't special, but for this particular time frame in our life, in the past X amount of years, I won't say our age because we're very young people, but we've really experienced a lot and seen a lot of social change, certainly. And we've been very fortunate to have lived in the United States during this time period. I think the U.S. is one of the more progressive places for women's rights. We've got a long way to go. We're not the best. We're probably like 25, 26 in that whole thing.
I find us to be very conservative.
We may be very conservative, but this isn't Sharia law. We aren't in the Middle East.
That's true.
You know, we don't have to worry about wearing a burqa and stuff. So I do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's still obviously salary disparity in yeah. this country, but things are changing.
We just need more women in politics so they could rewrite the rules.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Hillary Clinton. Whether people agree with her politics or not, I just appreciate what she's accomplished. I appreciate the fact that no matter who she's up against in the presidential election, she by far has the best resume. She by far is the completely most qualified for the position. No matter what. I mean, it's hard to even hold a candle to her.
Yeah.
So if she loses, it isn't because she's not worthy of the job.
Like they said in Gary's books, the Democrats have to win by a few million votes because the Republicans.
I'm hoping that things are going to change. At the time of this recording, Donald Trump a couple weeks ago had said some pretty ridiculous statements.
He's number one in the polls now.
And he's number one in the polls, which I think is fascinating to me because what he said was just like ridiculous, ridiculous.
Gary talks about it. He's like, what do you want, Donald Trump? He'd be your president, he'd say, you're fired.
That's right, you're fired, go away. Or, you're a Mexican and you're a rapist. I mean, why would he say things like that? But I think he also got kind of smacked down by corporate America.
Oh, he totally did.
But that seems to not have deterred those in the polls. Which, I don't know, I can't help it. It's just ridiculous.
It is. It does start to become comical after a while because we know that these are all just bodies being used by the ego.
But I thought I read somewhere that mathematically he cannot win without the Hispanic vote. Mathematically he cannot win.
Well, when they're 51% of California.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was the wisest decision. I believe that he truly felt that to be a fact.
Oh, there's a whole group of them out there. It's hard for me.
Just very conservative in how they look. I don't know if I said this before. I probably did. But you know my background. I was born and raised a Republican. I was a delegate, an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention when I was in college. I was a Republican. But it wasn't until I remember you and I talking about Bill Clinton being elected. And I was so upset. Mm. I was still a Republican back then. And you were so excited. And you were riding high because Bill Clinton was elected. And I'm like, oh, I don't like him. And he turned me around.
Great.
He's the one that turned me around. You can say whatever you want about his personal life, and honestly, I don't care because it's not my business.
Right.
But he was a darn good president, and I can't deny that.
One of the smartest people in the room.
Absolutely. So, I change. I mean, people change. But there's still deep-seated kind of conservative values that I have. Not religious stuff, because I definitely distance myself from that. But I can understand why people could feel in some ways conservative, but I also don't like how the current Republican Party, in my opinion, have kind of hijacked it. I'm all for social programs. I want to help people as much as possible, but I also don't want to be ridiculous about it. I mean, we're a country and there are many people there that may have differing views that aren't necessarily completely liberal, and they're totally legit and fine. It's just when you have what I think the fringe of the Republican Party kind of owning it now, mm-hmm. That's where I have a problem. That's where I have a serious problem.
Yeah, they were talking on NPR today how the Tea Party is becoming more of a social movement and less of a political strength.
No we'll worries. Cut all that out. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe we just say, like, none of this is real or something.
Well, as you know, with politics, none of this is real, even though sometimes we get a little too emotionally involved in it. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is, with episode 30, we're just so involved in this that we will continue to episode 31. We look forward to continuing on because it is a passion. We are dedicated and we are all in on this forgiveness journey. All right. Thanks again, Stephanie. We will be back for episode 31 of The Course of Course.
Bye.
Goodbye.